Good morning. Good morning and welcome to WSOU 89.5 live from the campus of Seton Hall in South Orange. And in honor of Women's History Month, who do I have on the line?
Good morning. This is Layla Muhammad. How are you this morning? How's your listening audience?
Oh, wow. We are doing fine. You know, because I like to say at the beginning of the program, and you probably missed it because I know you were preparing for the interview, that we represent from a different perspective. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to introduce you to Sister Layla Muhammad, who is a fifth-generation African-American Muslim. Go ahead. Take it away, Layla.
Yeah, I was just going to say, and we also have Dr. Khalilah Camacho Ali on the line also.
Okay. Well, let's have her to introduce herself. Tell us who you are.
Good morning. Assalamu alaikum. This is Dr. Khalilah Camacho Ali, former wife of Muhammad Ali, author, lecturer, actor, producer, and also aviator. Thank you for inviting me on your show, WSOU, here in Newark, New Jersey, right?
Yeah. Well,
I'm happy and honored to be here.
Absolutely. Well, we represent the great city of Newark, New Jersey, but at the same time, we broadcast live from 89.5 in South Orange, New Jersey. How about that? From the campus of Seton Hall in South Orange.
Yes, good morning, Seton Hall. Thank you so much for inviting us to be in your home today.
Well, you know, it's so important. We talk about history, and it's, you know, you two ladies basically represent the history that, you know, represents our community. And, you know, this program is basically put together to represent the unrepresented, to give a different viewpoint and perspective from what we normally, get in our regular media. Now, Layla, I want to begin with you because I know that you're going to be receiving, if I can let the cat out of the bag, and I've already done it, you're going to be receiving You're going to be receiving an award. And that particular award is you're going to be receiving the White House Lifetime Achievement Award, and you're going to also be presented with a resolution from the city of Newark, also from Foremost Productions award-winning. That'll be tonight. I'm just letting all the information out. Layla, tell us. What has your journey been in life, and how have you served the community?
Well, so my journey in life has been an inherent blessing. I, as you mentioned earlier, I'm a fifth-generation African-American Muslim. My grandma, Peggy, who was the grandmother to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, she was enslaved in Georgia, and once the slavery emancipation took place, she moved during the migration time with her family, which included my grandfather's parents and him and his wife, Clara Muhammad. They all moved to Detroit. And that's where they met their teacher, and they accepted Islam as a way of life. And that's where my journey begins with Islam that I was born into and that I have accepted for my own. But in Islam, it's a way of life, and service and charity is a way of life. So I just grew up as a young girl helping and working beside my mother and father. My father was the son of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, W.D. Muhammad, Imam Wedderfuddin Muhammad, or Wallace Muhammad. And my mom, she started a nonprofit back in the 80s, and I just shadowed them. My academic achievements that I have an early childhood development degree, so I taught in our school system for a while. But then I gravitated towards what I think is what I would probably call my calling or what I was born for, and that is working around diversity, interfaith work, working right now, having a retreat, and I'm a life coach where I help women of all different nationalities. I tell them that we're going to grow together in our sessions, and we're both working towards our human potential. And I'm also a Reiki master. that I must be foreseeing something. No, I'm not a Reiki master. I'm a Reiki practitioner, and I'm an author. I write poetry. I've written 3 books of poetry. My last book is called Sitting Under the Tree, and it's dedicated to Juneteenth. And I have about 10, I think 11 grandchildren and 1 great-grandson, and I have a daughter that's fabulous. She'll be here in a minute, in a few hours. She's coming from Atlanta. And I have 2 sons that live in Chicago. So, and I'm married to my husband, Imam Shahid Abdullah, who's also an author. So we just work. This is just our life. We do the work, and we love our people, you know. And I call myself Sister Layla because I love humanity, and I believe that we are one family, you know, coming from one Creator. And that's me.
Absolutely. You know, yeah. Well, that's a lot. You know, I'm a graduate of Seton Hall University, and in my quest to find out about all types of religion, if you didn't know, Seton Hall is a Catholic university, but I took a world religious class as an undergrad, and in that world religious class, I learned in a passage in the literature that we were given from the professor, that he or she who only knows one religion knows no religion. And that religion was not created to separate or divide people, but to bring them together. And it sounds like you kind of got that message in a different sort of way. Can you talk about it?
Yes, I definitely believe that. I'll quote my mom, there's only one God and one truth. And so you're right. You know, my mother, she was raised Catholic. And when she was 20, 21, she evolved and embraced Islam. And I say evolved because as Muslims, we believe in all the books. The Quran tells us that, you know, so it's a completion or a continuation or evolving. And my mother taught me the Lord's Prayer, just as my father taught me the opening chapter of the Quran, the Al-Fatiha. So I know that God is everywhere in all religions, and I just look for the truth and hope that God guides me to that truth, you know, and I embrace it. So, yeah, I totally agree with that.
Okay. Now, how did you end up putting together, authoring poetry, and could I get you to kick one out? Can we get a sample of your poetry? Something small, nothing, you know.
So what I did, I always wrote, you know, even as a child, and one of my favorite things was when they told you to do an essay, so I loved doing that. And then I think my mother, she noticed that I liked poetry, and so she bought me books of poetry to read as a young woman and child. But how I really began writing was because I think it would stay out of pain, you know. I had 2 sons that were teenagers. I was now divorced from my children's father, so I'm a single parent. I'm living on the south side of Chicago, and I'm trying to raise these boys. And I was young when I got married and had them, and so I, you know, it was just a little difficult. And so I began to write, you know, and it was therapeutic. And art itself has been therapeutic to me because I also make jewelry. And when I do that, when I'm beading the jewelry, I'm praising God with each bead I put on. And it's just very relaxing. So that's how the poetry started. And then I started sharing it with people, specifically my sister. And then she pushed me. She's like a mentor. She's like, you need to put this in the book, you know, so. That's what happened back in 2000, and now 3 books later, and I have about 3 more getting ready to come out. But yeah, I just love to write. I write poetry just about every day, and yeah, that's what I do. So yes, I'm going to read a poem right here from my book, my latest book called Sitting Under the Tree, and let me see which one I'll read. Okay, it's called Human. Okay. just when I was God's name. Human, who and what is colored? Stop making an other. Who and what is colored? Your eyes, the windows to your soul. Are they green, black, brown, or blue? Who and what is colored? Stop making an other. Is the blood that runs through every vein not red? Who and what is colored? Stop making an other. Use language that describes with dignity and maturity. Use your intelligence, not your emotion. Dig deep and find the place of origin. The roots, the foundation. Who and what is colored? To describe human beings in such a superficial manner is a manipulation. Who and what is colored? We see, yes, we see. The colored box is much larger in the modern time. Decades after the first labeled, that's colored. Who and what is colored? The other box is overflowing now. Everyone's in it, except for the carefully omitted uncolored. By your definition, who and what is colored? Stop making an other, false, and juvenile labels. We are of age. You are talking to adults. What is white? What is black? Colors in a crayon box. Brown, yellow, red. Colors. Yes, they are colors too. Subliminal messages of racism. Superiority, inferiority, white, black. Who and what is colored? We are all colored. So why not call yourself colored? How about green or blue? Stop making an other. Time is out for labels. Jim Crow is over. You putting up subliminal signs, we are going to take the signs down. Who and what is colored? Ask me my name, and I will tell you. Be it anything. I'm sorry, it's early in the morning. Ask me my name, and who am I? I will tell you, and it will not be anything that makes me or someone else an other. It will be, we are all equal. We are one family. We are not a color. We are a humanity.
You know, felt that. And first of all, I want to say, if you just tuned in, you're listening, you've just heard of the poetry of Layla Muhammad. And, you know, I asked her off the cuff. This was not prepared. She wasn't prepared to read or give us a piece of her poetry. And I have to be honest. First of all, I want to thank you for doing that. Because sometimes writers and artists, when they're not prepared, like you weren't just now, they refuse to do it, and you did it. But, you know, the words in that, and I know poetry is like music, and it's sung to me, and it's sung to a lot of the listening audience here who understand that we are not colored.
Yes.
I love it. We are all human beings. And so that being said, what was it like being the granddaughter of Elijah Muhammad? I mean, you know, now I'm going to be silly. Did people bow to you so respectful? You know, were people just like insanely like, oh, sister? And I don't know. What was it like? Talk to us.
So it would take so many hours to talk to you about this. But, I think that, you know, life is individual and unique to the person and the perception, you know, and the experience. So I'm one of countless grandchildren, you know, granddaughters is countless. But my father and his relationship with his father is what guided my experience. So my father was Wallace Muhammad or W.D. Muhammad, and he was put out of the nation several times because of philosophy and understanding of the religion. So because of that, I was put out too. The whole family would be put out. But when I became a teenager and I was going to school at the University of Islam, which I graduated from eighth grade and high school from that school system established by Clara Muhammad, my grandmother, my grandfather was a grandfather in this moment. My mother went to him and said, well, you know, Wallace is being put out. Do we have to be put out too? She said, I don't want Layla to go back to the public school as a teenager. And so he let me stay. And it's those years in my high school years from like 13 to 15, 12 to 15, that really I remember about my grandfather. I saw him on a daily basis because I worked in his house. I worked in his office with accounting at one point. And then the best job that I had was that I was a waitress because he had like formal dinners every night. And you would hear him talking to his guests, ministers or other officials from all walks of life. And it was just an engaging space. And I think it helped me to be the person that I am because I love dialogue. And he was great at dialogue. I mean, he was very witty. But I also remember him just as a grandfather, you know, giving me silver dollars and telling me to go buy some ice cream with it, you know. But, yes, in reference to your question, no one has bowed to me. I don't remember it if they did because I wouldn't want to remember it.
Yeah.
But I will say this. Of course, it comes with a great amount of respect. You know, and I had to grow to understand that I've been born into a historical family, which offers a great amount of respect. And that respect, I always try to make it mutual, you know. But yes, I have experienced a great amount of respect. But also, when one is given much, much is expected too. So,
okay.
Yeah.
I have one more question for you because we have to get Kalia in here and she'll have her time. You know, when we look at history, what would you say to this phrase that I'm about to drop on you? Do you think that Minister Elijah Muhammad has been left out of the history of our people? When we talk about Martin Luther King, we talk about Malcolm X, do you think he's kind of, you know, been overlooked? And for him to be such a prolific person and have touched so many lives, what do you say to that statement or that question?
Yeah, I definitely think he's been overlooked. He was, if not the greatest social reformer in America, definitely one of them, one of the top. And even also you mentioned our dear brother Malcolm. He was Brother Malcolm's teacher, you know, and so yes, overlooked, but you know, we patiently persevere. The Quran tells us that. And as a group of people who love and admire and respect the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, we have been patiently persevering, and it is coming to fruition. There's a movie out now, a documentary out by a dear friend of mine, Two Sons of Georgia, that's there, you know, and you have to see that. And then they're starting to do some Netflix and some other streaming stuff, you know, movies that are new, that are putting him more in the light of the story. And some of them are, you know, I sit at the TV and I cringe, but some of the stuff is good, you know. So it's like, you know, we just have to be patient and it's there. But there have been people that have kept the name of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad alive, the Nation of Islam under the leadership of Minister Farrakhan. He's done that. And then this month specifically, we have several programs around the country within our association that comes from W.D. Muhammad. And we're still calling them Savior's Day, but we say Savior in that we're not looking for a Savior, but that we have the Islam, which will save us. So you can save yourself. You don't have to look outside yourself for somebody to save you.
There you go.
But yeah, I agree. Yes, definitely. Because, you know, the thing is that there are different types of leaders, and it's like people that are in control of the narrative, if it's not you, then the narrative is going to be spent the way they want it to spin for their progress. So we have to tell our stories. It's just that simple. You
right.
know, yes, they left them out. They're leaving them out. They're putting them in a little bit. But the ownership is on us. We have to tell our story.
Okay. Well, I'm going to have to ask you to sit back and relax. And I want to thank you so much. And I want to bring Kalia Ali, former wife of Muhammad Ali. Good morning again.
Well, good morning to you too, my dear friend.
Okay. Now, I know that you, yeah. I know that you have been an actress, and well, talk to us about your acting, and talk to us about your authoring, because you're an author as well, aren't you?
Yes, sir. This is for the first time. When I grew up in the Nation of Islam, the same as Layla, I grew up with her family as a child in the Muhammad's University of Islam, which we all grew up in. That was the founder was the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Like she said, we have to write our story, and that part of my story has never been told, because as a child, my mother and father became Muslims in the late 40s, and then my father was a security for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, a devout Muslim. And my mother and father were devout Muslims all their lives. And that's what brought me into Islam at birth. So knowing the Honorable Elijah Muhammad at birth, and my father, when he joined the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad asked my father, he said, "Why do you want to become Muslim? You have money, you are good looking. Nobody else really joined the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, except the poorest of the poor." He said, "Well," he said, "I'll let you join me if you promise me that your firstborn will go to my school, Muslim school." And my father agreed with it. It felt like the little Rumpelstiltskin kind of moved. But and so I was the firstborn, and I, from kindergarten through 12th grade, I went to Muhammad's University of Islam number 2 in Chicago, and I grew up when my mother and father would work. I would stay in the home of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He was raised up with his grandchildren. That is where I met Layla and her family. And this was like, I'm a little older than she is, but and then when I was in school, I went to my cousin called Jessica, who is not Muslim. And she showed me a book. And I said, "What is this?" She said, "It's a yearbook." And I said, "What's a yearbook?" She said, "That's what we present at the end of the year when we graduate." And I wondered why we didn't have a yearbook in our school. So when I went back to school, I said, asked Minister James Shabazz, I said, "How come we don't have a yearbook?" And he said, "Well, you want a yearbook? You have to ask the Honorable Elijah Muhammad." So when I asked the Honorable Elijah Muhammad about a yearbook, he said, "If you want a yearbook, I'll allow you to take pictures in school, and you can put the yearbook together, and we'll print it." And so I did. So I was the one that catapulted our yearbook for our school, and that's when I became a photojournalist at the age of 8. Mm. So, so I started being a journalist, a photographer for the school newspaper, and then I started going to the Muhammad Street newspaper, and they taught me how to develop film and everything like this. That was my education. And so that was the first time that I really got involved in school and education, my education awareness. But then again, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had me to speak to Cassius Clay on certain times, That part of my life, when I saw Cassius Clay when he came to our school, I was 10 years old, he was 18 years old. And then when he came there, he said he got on the podium in our school and in our school auditorium and said that he was Cassius Marcellus Clay, that he was going to be champion before, he was champion of the world before he's 21 to get your autographs now because he was going to be famous. So when he started giving out autographs in the school, he was signed Cassius Clay. He came to me. I said, wait a minute. I said, your name is Cassius Marcellus Clay. He said, yes. I said, well, Cassius Marcellus is a Roman name. Did you know that? He said, no. I said, do you know what Romans did to people? He said, no. And then I said, well, you know, until you get a name of honor, until you get a name of respect, matter of fact, until you get a Muslim name, you're not going to be famous with this one. Take it back. I don't want it. And I tore up the autograph and gave it back to him. And I think that target is what interests him with me for the rest of my life. So that's how it all started. And like Layla said, you have to write your own story. So by me divorcing Muhammad Ali back in 78, I couldn't really speak or talk on these things because I was upset and didn't realize that I was going to have to divorce this person. And so it's best not to say anything when you're upset. And I don't like to talk when I'm upset. So I decided to decline, and I told Muhammad, I said, I can't deal with you with this book you're writing because I don't feel good about it. And then Muhammad said to me, he said, well, you know what? Why don't you tell your own story at your own time? Because you have a hell of a story. And he says, I hope I don't be here when this book comes out because I hope I'm on another country. But so this is the time. This is why I will be selling my books at this event that's coming in today, the Layla's event of the womb.
Yeah, what is the title? What's the title of your book?
Believe it or not, it's called Undefeated.
Say that again.
It's called Undefeated.
Undefeated.
Undefeated. And it's not because of Muhammad Ali at all. It's because I was an undefeated champion fighter back in the day. I'm a ninth degree black belt. I studied martial arts. Bruce Lee taught me a little kung fu back in the day. And since then, Sultan Muhammad, who was, I really like Muhammad's grandson, took me flying one day. And then all the honor students was able to go to Mixfield and fly, take a helicopter and fly around the city of Chicago. And I was one of those honor students. And that's when I developed the liking to fly. So I became a pilot at the age of 22. And just recently, about 2 years ago in Islamabad, I was teaching Muslim women to be pilots, you know, to learn how to fly. And so now you ever heard of Straight Outta Compton?
Yeah.
Well, a lot of things out of Compton is not negative. There is an airport in Compton, which I am on the board, the CEO board, of teaching young black sisters and brothers to learn how to fly to be pilots. So I'm on that administration of pilots in Los Angeles, in Compton, California. Yeah. And so I have this grave itching to teach people not only our history, but to teach them, you know, different things that they have a choice to choose. We need more pilots. We need more astronauts. And I try to encourage and instill this into our young people because we need more of us in the driver's seat. As opposed to just white pilots and white astronauts all the time. But we need to be sitting in these seats. And I try to encourage that and instill that into our people to be a part of this world, to be a part of the NASA, to be a part of pilots, to be a part of teachers, teaching, and universities and whatever.
Right.
But
Right.
But so that, so I only wrote the book. I tried to sum it up in as compact as I can, because God willing, I'll be writing specific books on certain things specifically in the future. Instead of me going to college, when I graduated high school, I ended up marrying Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali, he's actually carrying my name, Ali. The Ali name was given to my family before Muhammad Ali got his name. And so, I'm like Muhammad, dedicated the Ali name because of the he was interested in me back when I was a little girl. So he said, well, if she ever marries here in the future, she can't take a Christian name, Clay. So he gave Muhammad Ali my father's last name. So a lot of this has never been told in any of these books out here in history, and they need to know the correct story of our history. And like Layla said, the Honor Be Rise of Muhammad has been the forefront in our lives. Matter of fact, all the civil rights, Martin Luther King, H.R.F. Brown, Stokely Carmichael, all these people, it was the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was the first man that told us to call ourselves black and be proud of it. This is, and he was the one that initiated the blackness, of positive blackness. No one else. He was the first. He was the first that said the black man is the original man. He was the first to teach the Malcolm X when he went in jail to get out of jail by being a Muslim. And it's instilled in all these men. A lot of men have been incarcerated and they've come out Muslim. And it continues today. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad is the culprit of opening the door of Islam through me and my family. So by him opening the door of Islam, even though he had his own philosophy to take the slave mentality out of our people from slavery and put it into the mentality of greatness. And it was the Honorable Elijah Muhammad who did that. He was the one that took the slave mentality out of black American Negroes in America in the 30s and 40s and 50s or so.
So wait a minute. I want you to talk about how you were the rock for Muhammad Ali during the time that he was in protest for not wanting to sign up for the Vietnam War.
Yes, sir. Say what it was when we met Pastor Clay back in that day. I don't know why, but you don't ask why when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad asks you to do something, you just do it. You don't ask why. Layla knows this. And you're just so honored to do what this man asked you to do. It's a blessing and a privilege. And so when I was 13, Pastor Clay was fighting Sonny Liston. And matter of fact, brother, is because of Cassius Clay, I wrote my first poem for him at the age of 13, because I heard Sonny Liston, and Muhammad Ali wasn't even a Muslim at that time. He was just a sympathizer. And Sonny Liston got on TV and said, I'm going to knock out that black Muslim. And I said, what is he talking about? We're not black Muslims. We're just Muslims. So I was like upset about it. So I said, if Clay comes to the school or to the mosque again, I'm going to write a poem and tell him to tell it to Sonny Liston, because I don't like him and I don't like him. I appreciate him calling us black Muslims. So when I saw him coming, I said, somebody give me a piece of paper and a pen real quick. And so somebody gave me a brown paper bag and a pen. And I started writing a poem for Clay, because I had already studied the way he talked. So I just said, well, I'm just going to write it. And I, by the grace of Allah alone, the words just spewed out on this paper. So I saw Clay, and then Clay was going, telling everybody, said, she calling me dirt. He's calling my name dirt. He's always calling me dirt. And she said, because of his name, Clay, because I said that
players like Dirk Dumold. I said, brother, I said, you ain't gonna be famous with this name. I tore it up. And he said, she's still calling me Dirk. So then I said, come here. And he said, me? And they said, well, these sisters, they don't really talk to brothers. They're virgins. They don't really talk to brothers. And then Clay said, well, she's said plenty to me. You know, she's always telling me something. So when I called him over, I said, here, give this form to Sonny Liston because I don't like it. I said, this is what you need to do. And I walked away again. So I didn't think he'd do it. I said, well, you know, I'm 13. I mean, he's not going to give this to Sonny Liston. But I always react first and think about it later. So my dad, he's a very serious Muslim, very strict. And he's a former soldier in the war. So when my dad asks you something, he already knows the answer to the question, so you better not lie, right? So he said, come here. My name was at that time Belinda. He said, come here. He said, did you give a fighter a Puma and a brown paper bag today? And I said, yes, sir, I did. I said, why? I said, how did you know that, Dad? And he says, well, he's on TV blazing away. And I go, what? And I go and I saw Clay on national television holding up this brown paper bag reading my poem. You want to hear the poem?
Go ahead.
Okay. I wrote it. This is the legend of Cassius Clay, the most beautiful fighter in the world today. This kid fights great. He's got speed in the door. But if you're trying to sign to fight him, increase your insurance. This kid's got a left. This kid's got a right. Look at the kid care to fight. Well, the crowd is getting frantic. There's not enough room. May Ali lose the boom. That's the upgrade. Who would have thought when they came to the fight, they'd see a spook satellite? No one would dream when they put down their money, they'd see a totally tipped of the sunny. There he is, and he's pointing at the floor like he had knocked him out already. So that was my poem, and he made my poem famous.
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did. And I go, oh, my God, he made my poem famous. And oh, so wow. I was, like, so excited, you know, that he did that. And I was very proud of him that he did it because I didn't really listen. I'm glad Allah bless him to beat him up.
Okay.
And,
well, listen, yeah, I hear Layla laughing in the background. Listen, I want to thank both of you ladies. And what better way for this particular program here on the campus of Seton Hall University to open up Women's History Month for the first Saturday of the month.
I want to,
by having you two beautiful women on our program. And many times women have been left out of the story. And today,
yeah,
I am proud to have had you two ladies to give us a glimpse, just a glimpse of your stories in history as it pertains to African-American, black
people. That's right.
More importantly, human beings.
That's right.
Right here. And I want to say that these two ladies are going to be in the great city of Newark at the Cityplex Theater tonight for an award ceremony. And Sister Layla Muhammad is going to be receiving, again, the White House Lifetime Achievement Award.
Yeah, can I say this?
Yeah, we have time. Go ahead.
I nominated Layla for the Lifetime Achievement Award from the President of the United States because I received one in March of 2023, and President Biden said to me, he said, let me tell you something. If you believe anybody deserves an award that you have, you let me know, and I'll make it happen. And he did, and I gave it to, getting ready to present it to Layla today at this beautiful Wooten concert venue, and I'm just honored to give her this award. It's one of the highest awards you can get from the President of the United States.
Okay. Ladies,
yes,
one more statement, but I got to go.
Okay, I'm concerned. I just want to I am receiving the award. I'm very grateful. However, I believe when one achieves, we all achieve, and we're mirrors for each other. So this is why I'm having this event tonight called Women Open to Motivate Benevolence. And any female from 5 to 105 that comes tonight at the Cityplex, in Newark between 7 and 10, they will receive a certificate and an honor. We are honoring all females tonight. One achieved, we all achieved.
Amen. Come down and read my, get my book. I'm autographing my book and the picture of me and Muhammad Ali that's on eBay for $1,200. I'm giving it out free to everybody that comes tonight and get buy my book.
Okay.
Come on down.
That's the Cityplex in the great city of Newark. Ladies, thank you so much. And I have to say peace to you for now, because I've definitely gone over. Quest is the best. Quest Youth Radio is the best youth radio.
Yes,
ladies,
thank you.
Thank you.
And I also want to have the privilege to speak at that college right there, to come back and speak at that college and give them a little piece of my mind and a little education that they missed the way.
Okay.
Yeah, you can contact me at SisterLayla.com, and I would love to continue this relationship. Thank you so much, sir.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you.
God bless.
God bless you, too. Ladies and gentlemen, you just heard Layla Muhammad and Khalia Ali, Muhammad Ali's former wife with family. And we are Quest Youth Radio, the best youth radio on 89.5 live from the campus of Seton Hall. Until Saturday, next Saturday, we'll see you. Peace.
WSOU South Orange. Discover what great minds can do at Seton Hall University.
Good morning, this is Darrell Gunter, your host with leadership on WSOU 89.5.